Sometimes he would pray. Well, from what I understand, my father was interested in the supernatural. He believed in it. He always did. I never really grew up in a normal Jewish traditional way. Oh, yes, he did. Yeah, he had Hebrew books, he had the Bible, he had. Going to synagogue already was tension filled. Just, right. You didn't know if you were going to reach there alive or not. I don't know, it didn't seem to bother him as much as it did me. I said to him, why did you bring us here? I always question it, always. I said, I see no point. Why? He would just get upset at me. Lithuania. He was married at a young age, and he had also a son and a daughter. And there was a pogrom, and they killed his family. So after that, he just couldn't stay in the village any longer, and he left. He wasn't able to talk about it too much. It was too painful. He escaped Russia. How, I don't know, but he did. How, I don't know. So he stayed in the artist there in Paris. He was an extremely talented man. In the resistance, the French resistance, the underground, yes. Yeah. They would try and find Hitler and try and kill him, but no one was ever successful. Jacob, my father. It was during one of these raids that, what were these things called that they would throw? Not an arrow. You pull the, I forgot what it's called. Hand grenade, thank you.
She was making it a long
time. Yeah, throw an arrow. On guard.
Right, a hand grenade.
And it accidentally went off on his neck. The first time he told me this, I was just horrified. The thought of having to amputate a leg and, without anesthesia, not in a hospital, right then and there.
After the war, Jakob went to South America and started a business.
Schmatte business, factory, clothing factory.
His father went to Canada.
His father ended up in Montreal and lived in a building. And my mom and her mom lived downstairs. And she would bring him chicken soup. His father would say, well, you're a good-looking woman. How come you don't have a husband? And then her mother would probably say to her, well, look, it's time you married. She was almost 30. That time was considered old, 1949. She told Jacob, my father, to come, that he'd have a wife for him. And it was an arrangement between his father and my mother's mother. That was it.
3 years later, Jakob took his wife Bessie and their baby Ada back to South America.
Uruguay, Paraguay, and then Brazil. Yes, we had to leave Argentina. We were forced to leave. My father worked for the government.
They called him Jakob.
Multi-talented. He also worked as an interpreter. A lot of Russians would come into Argentina, and he would interpret from Russian to Spanish. There was a coup, and he was considered an enemy of the state. A lot of Jews were also. They were fascists. And when there's a coup, they give you 24 hours to leave the country. That's it.
Jacob.
Whatever you can grab from your house, and you're gone, you have to leave. So we were refugees. We had a big house and a maid. Yeah, and a maid. Wrought iron gates, I remember that. Beautiful. beautiful garden. So I was wealthy for what? 4 years of my life?
There was a coup there. The Peronist government was through there. And Jakob's family too. Had to have been there. In Argentina.
And then they moved to Brazil, to the jungles of Brazil.
Well, it wasn't far from a jungle. It wasn't like in the Amazon, you know, like right there in the Amazon.
They lived there for 4 years before moving to my neighborhood in Brooklyn. I remember the apartment they had there, and I remember Jakob.
Every time I saw him at home,
and he was only home 6 months out of the year,
bed in the living room,
very dignified,
looking very dignified. His books and his papers there
were. He read in seven languages.
Read, wrote.
His rear leg was on the bed, but his other one was at the side of the bed.
Of course, the prosthesis.
Standing by itself at the side of the bed.
He would hop around, you know, go to the washroom. He wanted to be as independent as possible.
He wore a white t-shirt.
Very, very white.
Ribbed with little thin straps.
And sometimes he wore a robe.
And he had lots of little black curly hairs on his chest.
Really curly.
And very big, big blue eyes.
That almost faded into the whites.
He often watched television.
He had a remote control
for it.
A remote control and a bed in the living
room. Not many families in the neighborhood did.
But they were very different.
But then the Vidges were different in many ways.
And that's why I liked them. Their apartment was very small, almost no sun at all.
His hair was slicked back and balding. And when he went outside,
he went to the synagogue.
He wore a suit that was pinstriped.
Elegant.
And he walked with a wooden cane.
A wooden cane.
It was a beautiful cane.
He'd walk to the synagogue.
I never understood why Ada was afraid of him.
He didn't seem like a mean man at all to me.
The first years I knew him,
he was away very often.
He worked half the year in Peru.
6 months in Peru.
But the last 2 years in Brooklyn.
The last 2 years.
He ran the corner candy store.
Behind the counter he worked.
It had been his cousin Harry's before.
And candy bars.
Then one day, my father sat us by the table and he said, "We're going to Israel." That was it. Remember when I told you? I was in shock.
Jakob was 71, Bessie was 51, Ada was 18, and Fivela was 15.
You know the Habadim? We stayed in a religious village, Kfar Chabad. It's the movement of Habadim. They originated in Poland. Highly Orthodox community. Oh, yeah. I really don't know why we ended up there, because we really were not Habadim. We would go to synagogue in the morning.
Every day?
We had to.
Why?
Those were the rules. Yeah.
Because they paid for you to.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And then afterwards, my brother and I would conspire to leave.
But your father would go to synagogue, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. He was very peaceful. He felt at home, very peaceful. And my mother seemed at peace also.
Jakob died when he was 73 years old.
I wasn't there. I left Israel a year and a half later. And I knew my father was ill, but ever since I was young, I felt he was going to die because he was sick. It was very strange. I felt extremely agitated. I was pacing back and forth, back and forth. It was very bizarre. Then I laid down on the couch, and I actually saw his image. And he said to me that he said goodbye, and that it was too late. Immediately, I telephoned my mother, and I said, "Pa died, didn't he?" And she says, "Yes, he died 2 hours ago."
And Bessie?
Her dream was to travel to Egypt, so we did that. I'm glad we did that. 6 months later, my brother telephoned, and he said my mother died. She was rushed to the hospital, and she died overnight. That was a real shock for me. The funeral was a total nightmare. And then I saw these people huddled together, sitting on a bench. There were a lot. There were at least 20. So I went over to them, and they told me they were the Rosicrucians, that my mother, they loved my mother.
And her brother, Fivela.
He's working in a hotel in Tel Aviv.
And you, Ada?
I'm living in Montreal. I'm back home in a sense, I guess. My job title is Program Animator of Activities for the Elderly.
Ada Vidzer was my best friend.
We would talk, we would philosophize, all through the night. And then we'd fall asleep. And I loved it. It was beautiful.
Ada is the kind of girl, she don't have any curls, but she's got blue.